And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. What? It's fantastic, phenomenal, always fun, usually somewhat fascinating Friday as we head into the weekend, not being afraid, even if the earth gives way or the mountains fall into the seas, because our help comes from the Lord. First, I always enjoy Fridays, the anticipation of the unexpected during the show, and the freedom that I seem to have in the teaching process makes it a little more fun. First observation we're going to go after is Isaiah chapter 8. Some claim that ghosts or unwholesome spirits communicate with them, a common assertion among many false prophets. However, the only way to discern the truth is through the law and the testimony, which represents God's written word and the sharing of his impact and his actions into people's lives. We'll examine that. And then we dive into the book of Judges. And there are times where God has simply had enough of egregious behavior. So he tells the Israelites who are being oppressed on all sides to cry out to the gods that they've chosen over him. Cry out to the idols that they worship before him. In essence, this is a pretty good depiction of God's people pushing God away and then God pushing back in response. The grace is that it's only for a short time. And then finally, John 3:16, of course, teaches us that God showed his love for us, showed his love to the world by giving his only begotten son. He did this to save us. The thing is, we need to remember that God is compassionate. He won't fail us. He's already chosen not to destroy us and will never forget his commitment to us. And for all of us, that calls for a mighty big amen.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Oh, you're going to get one of those today. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You can email us during the show live. So if you're in San Diego right now, you know, you're listening through the HeMustIncrease.org. It should be about 12:03. You just don't hesitate. You can email us during the show. David@HeMustIncrease.org. If you're in Texas and you're listening to us right now, hey, you know what? You can text live during the show because it's 203, 204 right now in Texas. Hey, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or if you're in Canada or Mexico or any other foreign country or anywhere in the United States, you can call us 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like heading into the weekend.
Thank you, David. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, Jim and Jacob. By the way, you've done a phenomenal job this week and doing a stellar job keeping everything afloat while Jennifer is not here.
Yeah, I've done better than I thought I would. I'll say that. Because I was pretty nervous.
Yeah, that's a great feeling though, right? Yeah. You're like, oh man, it's going better. It's going better. Okay. But remember this, the show's not over.
Right. You still got the day left.
I'm just giving them a hard time. Anyway, here's the bottom line. Maybe you've got a prayer request, or maybe you got a praise report. Maybe you've got a question. Maybe you've got an opinion. Maybe you got a comment. Maybe you got something going on. You just want to share it. No problem. You can reach out to us. You can call us. You can text us. You can email us. We'll do our best to accommodate. Do we do everything perfect on this show? In the first minute and a half, I blew the introduction. So, no. Have we ever had a perfect show? No. Okay. Are we ever going to have a perfect show? No. But we're still going to keep doing it. Why? Because we are moving forward one step closer to the Lord. That's all we want to do. That's all we want everybody around us to do. We don't want a bunch of David Spoons running around. We want a bunch of people who reflect Jesus Christ. That's what we all want, right? So bottom to the whole thing is this. Let's encourage one another. Let's strengthen one another. Let's bless one another. Let's help one another. Is that okay? That's not a bad thing. If you got a prayer request or a praise report, reach out to us. If you got an answer to this trivia question, then respond to it. Who interceded for James and John so that they might have the main places in the kingdom of Jesus? Who asked that they could be, right there next to Jesus? Was it their mother? Was it Zechariah's wife? Or was it Zacchaeus' wife? Ooh, interesting. Was it their mom? Was it Zechariah's wife? Or was it Zacchaeus' wife? If you think you know who stood up for James and John and said, I want them to have really great positions. Who was that? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You know, so text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So here it is. I want to make sure you know what we're going to do. We're going to do our DNA. And then I'm going to share a couple of things with you that may make your head spin a little. If they make your head spin, remember, I still love you. But first, we're doing DNA. The DNA is our building blocks of how we exist. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
This is the weirdest thing. I had a dream last night. This is not any of the testimony, but I had a dream last night that I kept getting pushed aside so I couldn't spend my time in prayer. And in the end of the dream, I was getting really frustrated. Like, that's enough. I need to go spend time with God. I'm telling you, that is like oxygen. It's not even like food, because you can go a day or two or even three or five or 40 without food. It's like oxygen. You can fast food. You can fast even water, but you can't fast oxygen. It's just like that simple. That is your oxygen, spending time with the Lord on a daily basis. N from the DNA, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. I know there's a lot to grow in, there's a lot to learn, and there's a lot to understand. But if you have trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and that you believe that God raised him from the dead through the power of the Holy Spirit, how could you not believe that he could write a book? It's just like too weird. You got to be able to be, nope, I have confidence in him. That's the N. And A, always be ready.
To serve,
because Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve. And when we serve, listen, this is so great. When we lose some of ourself for somebody else, for other people, God gives us more to replace what we've lost. It's so cool. It's just how God designed it. When you give up of yourself, God pours more into you. Just think of that. Take your life, add other people's lives into your life, and you will find more life. Wow. I have to love that. Just, I love stuff like that. Okay, here you go. Here's your trivia question. Who interceded for James and John so they would have the main places in the kingdom of Jesus at his right and left hand? Was it their mother, Zechariah's wife, or Zacchaeus' wife? Who did that for James and John? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. Also, you can text 214-210-8483. And also, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So now I'm going to share two testimonies with you, which I kind of like, didn't I kind of like have a reservation about sharing that a little bit this morning, like when I talked to you when I first met you?
Yeah, but I'm excited for you to share it. It's a really cool story.
All right. So there's two. So I'm going to share two things. The first one I didn't share with you yet. So the second one I did. So the first one you just listened to. So yesterday, Aunt Deb, and Aunt Deb's a blessing. You guys know she's not just a part of the board structure, but she's a friend and she's been a blessing. Helped us get the house we got, you know, that we've been in for 6 years. I mean, that's pretty cool, right? That worked out perfect. But anyhow, we were texting back and forth just as I was getting ready to exit, and sometimes we'll text like while I'm on the road. Just brief texts and so on and so forth. But I did tell her, I'm driving home, my head hurts, because, you know, the operation that I had, the stuff, it was multiple stitches in my head, and I hadn't taken any ibuprofen, and the reason I didn't is because I don't like taking ibuprofen when I'm driving, because sometimes, I believe it or not, it actually gives me a stomachache. So I know it's not supposed to. I know Tylenol is supposed to. Ibuprofen is not supposed to. But I understand, but I'm a little different. So anyhow, I just, you know, reached out to her, and I said, well, I'm kind of dreading the drive home because, in a nutshell, my head hurts, and it feels like a long drive. I haven't even gotten going. I'm just getting on the freeway. It's like, it already feels like a long drive. And let me tell you something. Thursday, driving from Thursday afternoon, Friday, and Fridays too, driving from Irving to Fate, Texas, is a long drive. So she prayed that the Lord would open up she said, I'm praying, we're praying right now, the Lord would open up the pathway so it would just, you know, be really smooth for you. So let me tell you what happened. I'm just going to share this with you. So the time it took me to get home was 1 hour and 5 minutes, which is normal, right? Abnormal. But what is weird is that she prayed for me, and it seemed like it was like 30 minutes. It seemed like it was a fast drive. And so what I thought about, and I hadn't shared that with her yet because I wanted to share it on the air. What I thought about was, when God answers prayers, he doesn't sit there and say, well, I'm going to do it exactly the way you want it to be done so it could just be manifest for you. That's not how God answers prayers. When Martha and Mary asked this element of restoration and healing and deliverance from their brother, they were not anticipating the methodology or the timing that God had produced to bring Lazarus back to life. They weren't thinking along the lines of timing and method. And God doesn't need your permission to answer a prayer based on your timing and your method. So I'm driving and I'm like, I'm home already? That's one of the things I even said to myself to the Lord, which I thought was really bizarre, because I was looking at the clock going, did you directly answer her prayers? Well, he did, but it wasn't based on the clock. It was based on my brain, which I thought was cool.
Right. It wasn't like your car just picked up and started flying through the air to beat traffic.
Yeah, it wasn't a George Jetson thing at all. It wasn't like I was driving over everybody. But it was like not the – what's the word I'm looking for? Not the difficult chore that it normally is. So you guys, this just tells you, you pray something, you don't know how God's going to answer it. And you don't know if he's going to answer or not, or if he's not going to answer or not. You should expect it with faith. Just don't tell God how to do it. That's not up to you. All right, that's testimony one, which I think is cool. Okay? All right. Here's testimony two, and this is going to – I know you're going to weird out on me a little, but hang in there with me. I'm going to do my best to share it. Okay? So yesterday we preached on the 5,000, right? Was it yesterday? It was yesterday. So it's Thursday. So we preached on the 5,000, right? The bread, the loaves, and so on and so forth. And so one of the things that the Lord and I've been really working on being not legalistic, but more diligent in my own giving. I just think it's really important, right? And I think it's important if I'm asking people to give that I should, you know, have that same spirit and so on and so forth. Though we give to a variety of ministries because I like that approach better. We don't give to our own ministry. It's not how it happens. Okay, we give it to other ministries. So last night, after I went to bed and kind of like, it's probably about 12:30 or 1-ish, you know, I guess, you know, kind of like, you know, my head was still a little sore there. So turning, you know how you turn on your pillow from time to time? That's not a great idea when you have stitches. So, you know, it kind of woke me up a little. But then I felt like the Lord was impressing upon me something that I taught yesterday, and that is, when I was teaching you about Jesus and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and then he took them, he lifted them to heaven, he thanked the Father for them, and then he gave it away. So when I'm sitting there in bed, I'm thinking, I think that's what the Lord wants me to do. I'm gonna give, and we don't have a lot of money. I'm just saying right now things are really tight for us. So I just took it and I said, Lord, here, I'm gonna do what I know you're quickening me to do this. So there was this amount of money, which was more than I definitely planned on giving.
Just say that. It's a nice way to say it.
And I just said, okay, and tomorrow morning when I get up, the first thing I did is give that amount of money away. And all I was asking the Lord was for the wisdom on where to give it. I'm giving it. It's gone. It's already gone in my mind. It's over. It's done. I'm doing it. So I get up and I give that money away two different places. Excuse me. And 5 minutes later, I get a text from a friend who has not given to our ministry in 3 years. It's a friend of mine. And he says, I need a link because I want to give to the ministry. And I'm like, cool. I mean, I'm not going to say no, right? It's silly, right? I give him that. He sends the amount in. It's the exact same amount that I gave away 10 minutes earlier that the Lord had told me to give away. Then I texted him and said, wow, that was the exact amount that I just gave away. And he wrote back, you know, LOL, LOL, LOL. The Lord told me to give that amount the other day, but I wasn't sure where to give it, which is hilarious because that's exactly what happened to me. It's like I wanted to give this amount away, but I'm not sure where to give it. Then the Lord kind of put it on my heart where to give it, and that's exactly what happened to him. And 5 minutes after I gave, the Lord gave it right back to the ministry. It's just like, I know some people are like, well, that's a heck of a coincidence. Yeah, but see, I met Jesus. I haven't met coincidence, and I am confident that God controls all those things. And we both knew instantly that's the Lord saying this. And this was the scripture that the Lord put on my heart. Give and it shall be given. When we give, God commits to the giving. Ugh. So even though I don't have $1 billion in the bank, you know what I feel like I have? God on my side. That's all you need. All you need is the Lord. And he can change and take anything in any direction he wants. Isn't that cool? I'm not telling you so that you'll give to us. I'm telling you so that you'll give to the kingdom. Because that great old hymn, you can't beat God giving, no matter how hard you try. It's like so cool. And it's the exact amount. Come on, you guys have to understand how bizarre that is. Like, how weird is this? Love it. Okay, who interceded for James and John so they would have their main places in the kingdom of Jesus? Was it their mother, Zechariah's wife, or Zacchaeus' wife? And it was their mom who said, hey, take care of my boys. I want to make sure they're well. See, that's not a bad thing. Moms want the great things for their kids. That's good. Okay. All right, we'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Can't
stand the skill, can't stand. Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. CowpunchSites.com/dad.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at year end indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously, or in Proverbs where it teaches that a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can, right here on KAAM.
And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to face a penalty. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. I really want people to know I shared that testimony because it's what happened. So I don't always share it the best way, but just the thing that got me the most, I got to say this real quickly, is thinking of Jesus taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and lifting them up, and that was all they had, right? And he lifted it up, right? And then he thanked the Father for it, and then he distributed it. So I didn't do that exactly, but it was pretty close. It's pretty close anyway. That I took what we had, and I lifted it up to the Lord, and then we gave it away. It's just like cool. And just asked him to, and, you know, just trusting for him to take care of it. It's just a piece that he's a part of it all. You know what I'm saying? I hope you get that. All right. Oh, this is a little more challenging, so I don't want you to kind of lose it on me on this one. Here's your trivia question. According to Mark chapter 9, verse 50, how did Jesus tell us to live with each other? In faith, in hope, or in peace? According to Mark chapter 9, verse 50, how did Jesus tell us to live with each other? In faith, in hope, or in peace? Okay? A little bit of insight there you might be able to get just by listening. That'd be kind of nice. Two jokes. It's Friday. Got to do it, jokes. The first one is not as funny as the second one. The first one is shorter. So we have Jacob is ready. He's got his hand on the buzzer. Here we go. Here's joke number one. Father, how did your tests go today? Daughter, okay, but on one I was like Washington and Lincoln. Father, well, what do you mean by that? Daughter, I went down in history.
Mission failed. We'll get them next time.
Okay. All right. This joke is really good. If you guys don't think this joke is good, stop watching the news, okay? That's my answer. The English professor at school emphasized over and over again the importance of developing an extensive vocabulary. You have my assurance, he told the class, that if you repeat a word 8 or 10 times, it will be yours for life. In the back row, an attractive young woman sighed and, closing her eyes, whispered softly to herself, Steve, 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 Steve. Did you get that? Did you get that? Come on. You had to get that. Okay. Did you get that at all? Did you not get that? You didn't get it?
Why are you the way that you are? Honestly, every time I try to do something fun or exciting, you make it not that way.
That's my favorite one.
It is quite funny. Repeat it 8 or 10 times. It will be yours. Steve. Okay. All right. Here we go. Somebody is on the phone. You poor people. I feel bad for you. See, there's the problem. You know why I really feel bad for you? Because I don't feel bad for me. I just feel bad for you. That's the truth. All right. Somebody is, I think, ready to answer the trivia question. If not, they might have a question. One way or another, we'll get there, I'm sure. I'm giving you the old classic delay on the air, but keep things going because you don't want dead air because that's not good to have on the radio. Is somebody ready to answer the trivia question? Yes, they are. Send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to? Hello?
Yes, Brother Roger again.
Hey, Brother Roger again. How are you?
I'm better than I deserve.
Amen. Brother, amen. That's a great, great, great statement. All right, let me set you up with a triv, and then you give us the answer, and then we'll go from there, okay?
All right.
All right. According to Mark 9:50, how did Jesus tell us to live with each other? In faith, in hope, or in peace?
He wants us to live in peace.
That is correct, Amanda! You are right, sir. That is exactly correct. He wants us to live in peace. Excellent job. How are things for you, bro?
Well, I'm doing okay. I mean, life is interesting.
Life is
interesting. Take it by faith. We take life by faith. You know, you have a DNA. Well, I have a F-A-T. And I texted it to you one time.
Yep. Tell people what the FAT is.
FAT is being faithful, available, and teachable.
There you go. Faithful, available, and teachable. Excellent combo, by the way. That's just a superb combo.
And then you can say, I'm fat in the Lord.
There you go. I am fat in the Lord. Faithful, available, and teachable. See, Roger again has his own DNA structure. And those are excellent. Everybody should be faithful. Everybody should be available. And everybody should be teachable. You never reach the end. You always have more to learn. And you always got to be available. And you got to be faithful and loyal to the Lord. And to one another. There you go.
I just had to throw that my 2 cents in there, with, but it's not as worth as much as that lady threw 2 cents in the bucket.
That is true, but it is still a good 2 cents. It's still a good one, brother. So that was a nice job, very, very good.
I enjoy your show. I just love you guys. You just keep up this good work. I've been waiting on the Lord for something to come in, and it will. But like you were saying, sometimes it might be 5 minutes, it might be 5 weeks, or whatever he decides when it comes in, and I'm going to render it to you guys, so. I'm praying about something to come in.
Well, as the Lord sets it up, his timing and his method is perfect. We just need to trust him.
You know, and you were telling about the 30 minutes. Well, you know, I believe one time in my life was I was transformed from I was from one area to the another area where it would have took 2 hours to get someplace, and I got there in 30 minutes.
See,
and I think that was actually the 30 minutes. So I know a lot of people don't believe that, but I know that it was true for me.
Right. Nothing is impossible for God. That's what people seem to forget. Get it?
Right.
That's it.
But anyway, thank you for your testimonies, and thank you for listening to me with my rambling sometimes. I ramble.
That's okay, brother. We love you, brother.
See you later.
All right, God bless you. Bye-bye. All right, excellent job by Roger again. Fantastic. I don't know. See, this is where the show where you need them more time. I just don't know how else to do it. All right, so we're going to have to break, and then I'll have to pick. Oy, oy, oy. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. This is from our good friend, Pastor Ray. He wrote this wonderful devotional called When Grace is Tangible. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. That's John chapter 1, verse 14. There is more to grace than I ever imagined. Now, I'm going to stop you right there. So I was praying. This is in the last month. And I even wrote it down in my little journal how I believe the Lord had communicated to me personally that I do not understand the depth of God's grace. So then this devotion comes, and I'm like, oh, I just know the Lord's trying to teach me more. All right, let me back it up to what Ray says. There is more to grace than I ever imagined. We sing of amazing grace with the hope and longing that inspires people of all faiths and walks of life. Theologically, grace is defined as unmerited favor, a good, sound concept. But there is something more tangible about grace, something we can picture in our minds. God once told Moses, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Grace, as I discovered in the Hebrew language, is more than a favor granted in spite of our failings. When God says he will be gracious to whomever he chooses, he uses the word chanan, which adds a new layer of our understanding, because chanan means to show favor, mercy, to bend, or to stoop in kindness. God is not only granting favor and mercy, but the word picture is of him bending down to us in kindness, like a father getting down on his knees to embrace his children. There's even more to this picture. The root of the word chanan means to pitch a tent, to encamp, to abide, to dwell, to rest. There is more than God granting favor. He wants to dwell with us, to camp out with us. The God who is so very beyond us, not of this world, desires for his glory to abide with us and in us. God will be gracious to whomever he chooses, and he will come and live with them and dwell with them and camp out with them, whomever he chooses. And when it makes no sense to anybody else, it doesn't matter. Even if it doesn't meet our standard of approval. The Almighty Lord desires to dwell with us, not just rule over us, certainly not to start a religion, but to love us and live with us in a tangible, real way, to show us the way, the truth, and the life. The ultimate experience of God bending down, listen to this, the ultimate experience of God bending down, stooping down to the ground to dwell amongst us is the incarnation of Jesus Christ.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. You're going to be challenged on this one. Here's your next trivia question. What were the works of creation on the fourth day? Genesis 1, 14 through 19. What were the works of creation on the fourth day? Was it the land, animals, and man? Was it the sun, moon, and stars? Or was it the fish and the birds? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, David@hemustincrease.org. We're going to send you up to the website, our scripture for giving, for supporting the ministry, Deuteronomy 15:10, give generously to the needy, and do not let your heart be grieved when you do so. And because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything to which you put your hand. If you're able to give and participate in the ministry, great, but I will tell you this, you will never beat God
giving. Ever. Okay. Check it out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org.
Okay, are there any questions? Yes.
Where's the basement?
Excuse me?
Aren't we going to see the basement?
There's no basement at the Alamo.
Yeah, see, there's no basement in the Alamo. Just telling you right now.
Do we know that for sure?
Yes, we know that for sure. There is no basement at the Alamo. All right, here is the trivia question again. I want to help people out because people are kind of not hearing me, so I want to make sure I say it correctly because, you know, I have a tendency to mess things up. That's okay. What were the works of creation on the fourth day? Were they the land, animals, and man, or the sun, the moon, the stars, or the fish and the birds? What was created on the fourth day? That is the question. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So you have that opportunity to do so. Somebody is ready to answer the trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, this is your little brother. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom, bro. How are you?
Good, good, good.
Okay. All right. I'm going to set you up with it. Let you knock it out of the park. Here we go. What were the works of creation on the fourth day? Were they land, animals, and man, sun, moon, and stars, or fish and birds?
Let's go with the sun, moon, and star.
That is correct, Amanda! Which, of course, again, is so fascinating since the trees bearing seeds came out on day three. Then there was the sun, the moon, and the stars. Just ask every evolutionist how that's possible. Anyhow, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good. You sound good, too. I want to tell you that. Your voice sounds good.
Yes.
Yeah, good job.
And Ranger Swan.
Ranger Swan, baby! That is pretty cool. Yeah, I'm really happy. I'm actually really happy because being in Texas, it's just like, yeah, you know. I just want to say it took me 6 years, but I got here, and finally the Rangers won. Okay. Way to make it about yourself, Dave.
Good.
Good.
And I'm praying for the people that, as I mentioned yesterday, for the people those who are going through cancer or chemotherapy. So just the reason I'm sharing to just want to give them a little encouragement that, yes, the body of Christ is there to pray for them and their healing.
Excellent. And that's an excellent job, and stay on it, and we appreciate you doing that very much.
All right. Thank you, Brother David.
God bless you, bro.
God bless. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right. All right, let's hit it. I'm going to hit this right now. It's Luke chapter 5, verse 4 through 9. So let me say this real quickly. I need to say this ahead of time. This is not an expository teaching on Luke, although that is coming after we finish Matthew. Luke will be next, and I'm going to do an expository. Unfortunately for me, right now, doing the expository on Luke is really, really, really long. Okay, just to let you know. But I wanted to teach this teaching in the meantime, but that will be coming at some point, as well as 1 Thessalonians and some other books that we'll be teaching. But I want you to hear this. This is a challenge to you personally. It's a personal challenge that I'm just going to present the scripture and not go into overly depth. I just want you to hear it. Luke 5, 4 through 9. Master, Simon replied, we've worked hard all night and caught nothing, but at your word, I'll let down the nets. When they did this, they caught a great number of fish, and the nets began to tear. We talked about this last week. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, because I am a sinful man. For he and all those with him were amazed at the catch of the fish they took. Normally, when we talk about a text like this, we talk about how after he said, no, okay, I've worked hard all night, but at your word, I'm going to let down the nets. And we focus on that part. I don't want to focus on that part. You already know that part. I want to focus on this part. The miracle happens. So I want you to go post-miracle. The miracle takes place. At the word, I let down your nets. All the fish come in. It was so many fish that between Peter and Andrew and James and John, their boats were just so filled with fish that the boats were going down. Now, typically, if you go fishing, if you catch that many fish, you are king of the water. I'm just saying, right? Not only did they catch that many fish, but their partner's boat came in and they put the fish in that boat too. And then both the boats are kind of squishing down in the water. That's how many fish. I don't want to focus on that. I want to focus on what happens next. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me because I am a sinful man. When God does miraculous works in our lives and we recognize, even as brief as it is, because our memory seems pretty short, that it is a miracle from God, the more we realize it, the more we recognize, wow, I'm a mess. I need help. I'm not even worthy to be in your presence. You see, we love the presence of the Lord if you're a Christian. You're a Bible-believing, born-again, because you love the Lord. You love hanging with the Lord. You love all that stuff. But there is this moment when the power of God manifests that we should recognize, I am not worthy of this grace. You see, you don't earn the miracle, okay? You don't earn the outpouring of the blessing. God gives the miracle or pours out the blessing because he is, in fact, generous. If he wasn't generous, no human would still be alive. And at times, instead of focusing on what he's done, which you always do when you're the Lord's doing stuff, we also need to focus on where we are. And where we are, when you look at how great God is, we are unworthy. And so I love that Peter does this because Peter's got a lot of rambunctious in him. he's got a lot of up and downs. But he also has a lot of brilliant, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, right? So he's got all these different things that go up and down. Here is what we're going to say. He says, go away from me. I'm a sinful man. For he and all those who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish they took. So amazing is the work of God. So out of the realm of worthiness. So fantastic is God's answers to your prayers that there ought to be some sincere reflection that you and me and everybody else who calls upon the name of the Lord, who can be saved because of Romans 10:13, because of Joel 2:32, because of Acts chapter 2, that we can be saved by calling upon the name of the Lord. Every one of us ought to recognize that even from that moment forward, we are not worthy. We are sinful people. And that we can embrace with God and engage with God is such a kindness, such a grace, such a mercy. When a miracle comes, and they come, and you know they do, it is proper to recognize our own position and unworthiness. Now, Jesus restores Peter, pulls him back up. But what I'm talking about is the human component of Peter recognizing that he's engaging with God Almighty. Humility serves us all well when we are humble, right? Okay. Take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon experience?
So you know what David did? He asked God again. And how did God answer? He answered him. God didn't go, you asked me twice. Strike you with lightning. Strike you with lightning. It's like, that's not how this works. So the scripture says in 1 Samuel 23:4, go check out your Bible. Once again, David inquired of the Lord and the Lord answered him. It's like, go do your thing. Go. It's okay to inquire more than once, even if there's an answer that you've got, because sometimes we look for reassurance and clarity and for comfort and from eliminating hearing mistakes. We're not trying to irritate God. We're not trying to fight against his will. We're not trying to be disobedient. The Lord knows that. See, I think what happens is we'll do something, it'll be sincere action, then somebody else may hear about it or you mention somebody, and the way they interpret it is different than the way God interprets it. When I come before the Lord and he says, go do this, and I come before the Lord again and do one of those, are you sure? You know, kind of thing. That's not me trying to be bad. And this is the same kind of thing that happens when you get into the people that one group in Christianity is like, you know, you can't ask for signs at all, because it shows that you either have no faith or you don't believe Jesus is Messiah. Well, first of all, that's not true, because God gave signs all the way from Genesis to Revelation. So that's just silly. The other part of that is people asking for signs like Gideon were just like going, okay, I'm just trying not to mess this up, right? What Jesus rebuked was the people asking for a sign to prove he was the Messiah. That's substantially different than asking God, I just need to know I'm not doing this dumb. Right? I mean, and that's why what we do is we kind of pour into these rules and these reasonings, and it's like, you know what? Don't do that. Come before the Lord. Be yourself. You know, you don't have to, you don't have to posture before God. He already knows. It's like, you know, I just want you to know I'm not going to look up right now. Now, if you really feel that way, that's fair. But don't do that because you're trying to impress God, because he knows you're trying to impress him. So then don't do that. Just tell him what's going on. Share your heart. Share your feelings. One of the things that I see about prayer, and this is a true statement. Some people say, well, people pray to get things changed. It's maybe better to say that we pray so that God changes us. That might be more accurate, so that we get into a surrender or a yielded position. It's not that you can't have faith, not that you can't pray, but what I'm talking about is coming and yielding and going, I'm just trying to get the clarity. I want to know what I'm doing is what you want to do. I think it's a very important element for people who are seeking wisdom, just to be as earnest and honest as possible. If the Lord grants you a sign, the bigger problem about that is most of the time, like for Israel, they didn't believe it anyway. Amazing grace, how sweet. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Here's your next trivia question. Before I give that trivia question away, I did want to mention, I told Jacob I wasn't going to do it, but I'm going to. Okay, so there is a game a week from tonight. The SMU Mustangs are playing the North Texas Mean Green Machine. I'll just call it that because it's, you know, from the longest yard. North Texas Mean Green Machine. I'm just calling it that. That's my new thing. And that's at 8 o'clock, a week from today, SMU. So we have 4 tickets and a parking pass. You are welcome to them. If you want those, reach out to us in one way, shape, form, or another. You can either call, text, or email. We'll be glad to get you those tickets. You only have a couple of days to do that, and then we're going to have to send them the other direction. Also, I want to do trivia real quickly. This is a pretty straightforward. It's one or the other answer. Why did God command Gideon to limit the number of soldiers in his army? Was it because the people would be praising the enemies, or the people would be taking the glory? So why did God limit the number of soldiers in his army for Gideon? Say, nah, you got too many people. Was it because they would praise their enemies and that they overcame them, or because they would take the glory for themselves? If you think you know the answer as to why God limited the army, You can call 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. If you're going to call in, just recognize we have a very tight time frame, sharp exit in 7 minutes. So there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Why did God command Gideon to limit the number of soldiers in his army? Was God concerned that they would be praiseworthy of their enemies? Or was God concerned that they would try to take the glory? And by concern, that's probably not the right phrase. Was God trying to help them avoid that? Might be a better way to say that. Okay, if you think you know, reach out to us. In the meantime, I've got another small teach I want to do out of Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 31. Deuteronomy chapter 4, and that's verse 31. And here is what that text says. It says, "For the Lord your God is a compassionate God. He will not fail you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant with your fathers, which he swore to them." So, this is what it is. We hear John 3:16. We've got, you know, I don't know if that guy's still doing it or not, but somebody at sporting events usually has the John 3:16 sign. Remember the guy that was dressed up as a clown for years? Anyway, so you got the John 3:16. What's the big deal? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We love that verse. We love verses where God talks about, you know, his love for us. It's encouraging. It's something that we need to remind ourselves of, and it's something that we tend to forget. Or maybe say this better. We know it, but we don't keep it at the forefront of our thoughts. When we don't keep it at the forefront of our thoughts, it goes to the back of our thoughts. But everything that we're doing with God and in God should be at the forefront of our thoughts, especially when love is his big motivator. So I'm going to pause it on that because we do have somebody ready to answer the trivia question. Let's give them a chance. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. This is Dr. Jesse.
Hey, Dr. Jesse. How are you doing?
Doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
It's Friday, huh?
Yeah. It's Friday, so I'm not going to lie about that. Praise the Lord.
Okay. Good deal.
All right. I'm going to set you up with a trivia question. Ready? Why did God command Gideon to limit the number of soldiers in the army? Was it because the people would try and praise their enemies, or because the people would try and take the glory?
Well, I think it might lead to something as bad as hubris, so the people would take the glory for themselves.
That is correct, Amanda, sir. You are right. Which
awesome.
from a biblical point of view, should be most amazing to all of us, that God is going to limit the resources so that when it comes about, everybody can go, only God could have done that.
Exactly. And, you know, whenever I've been praying for something difficult in my life, and I wonder, why isn't this going to happen? Because if this does happen, I can never take credit for it.
Exactly.
We have to pray
right
through it and grow in our faith.
That's exactly right. And we'll sit there and we'll say, I'll never do that, but we do it all the time. It's a part of that human nature. It's part of that, you know, self-aggrandizing kind of like mentality. And the Lord's like going, I'm going to make it so distinct, there's no way you can do that.
That's right. Everybody will see his glory.
That's right.
Hey, you know, you heard about you having this surgery. Listen, I had a Mohs procedure on my face and my nose and my left temple. And I know what you're talking about. You know where you can hear the sound of the cutting and crunching of the tissue? That's one of the reasons it's so distinct on the face and the head. It's because it travels. It's called bone conduction. Because sound can travel through the bone also. Like if you take a tuning fork, and the doctors does this sometimes in their exams, and places it on the back of your ear on the bone, the skull, directly on the skull, you can hear it through the conduction, the sound traveling through the bone itself.
Wow.
So that's why it's so strong and powerful and vivid in sound. You can really hear it loudly, right?
See, now the problem with that is that I'm boneheaded, so that's why it was so loud.
I know the feeling. I got a similar issue myself.
All right, brother. Excellent call. Great job. We love you, bro.
Thanks, bro. I love you, too. I'll talk to you next week, okay?
Okay.
Take care. Have a great weekend.
You got it. Bye-bye.
God bless.
All right. Great job by Dr. Jesse. Excellent, 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 excellent. All right. Let me go back to this. We only got about 2 minutes, and I want to make sure we finish strong on this. Listen to just Deuteronomy again. I want you to catch this. For the Lord your God is a compassionate God. He will not fail you nor destroy you nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which he swore. There's four things out of this one text, Deuteronomy 4:31. He's compassionate. If he wasn't compassionate, it's over. There's nothing. It's done. Vaporized. See ya. How do we know? That's verified in about two segments right here. He won't fail us. Unlike us who fail others and ourselves, or others who fail us, God has never failed anyone ever. It's a heck of a track record, right? Never fails. It says he won't fail us. He won't destroy us. Going back to the compassionate part. What do you mean he won't destroy us? If God only operated in his holiness and justice, only operated in his holiness and justice, you and I would not exist. Here's something that'll blow your mind. Remember what Jesus said, forgive them, they know not what they do? So people would say, well, see, everybody should be forgiven. No, you totally misunderstand that. If God judged the earth for what they did to Jesus at that moment, the entire earth would have been annihilated. That wasn't a corporate salvation prayer. That was a spare the earth moment. Because they just crucified God. Get that? That's something you should really catch, should really understand that. And here's the last thing he says. He won't forget his commitment to us. He will not fail nor destroy you, his compassion, and he will not forget his covenant. He will not forget the commitment he's made. He's never going to forget the commitment he made to you. He is reliable in his faithfulness. How cool is that? It's just the best there is. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, taking a 70 and one-half-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.